Yes, indeed. We are awaiting any kind of a home improvement question you might have this morning at 651-461-9226. Let's say good morning to Grandpa Andy.
Hey, Grandpa Andy, indeed. How are you, Denny? It's a big week.
I'm doing well, but how are you? You're still up in cloud nine, aren't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was. It's been awesome. Yeah, first ever grandchild was born on the 19th. Lloyd Lindis, healthy 9.5-pound baby boy. Mom is doing great. Their mom and dad and baby are home now. They got home yesterday around lunchtime, and the doctors and everybody were awesome. It was a great experience. And Denny, like talk about the best weeks ever. Today, my brother's son and my nephew is getting married to Callie. And if anybody's had an appointment by Lindis Construction for an estimate over the last couple of years, chances are you've talked to Callie on the phone. That's what she does at Lindis, is helps set up the estimates for us. So it's a big week. We gained a grandson, and my nephew is getting married. So we added a boy and a girl to the family this week.
How about now? Lloyd obviously was a big baby.
Oh, yeah.
Now, who was he named after? Was anybody in particular in the family?
You know, my daughter-in-law's mother's grandfather was named Lloyd, and it turns out that on my wife's side there was a Lloyd as well. So it is a family name, and then the same middle name as my son and my father and myself. So it's Lloyd Paul Lindis, and we're pretty excited. Now, I wonder if I need to let the folks at LP know. You know, this is naming rights, being that this kid's initials are LP, and we're big smart side folks. So I know the kids are looking at some siding down the road. Might be able to get a discount from those LP folks with a kid like Lloyd on the docket.
Well, congratulations to you and your bride and the whole family, and welcome Lloyd. I would imagine that somewhere down the road, you might be doing a little coaching on hockey if he's interested, and maybe taking him fishing. Just a guess.
You know, that's a really good guess. In fact, yesterday I had kept my son's first ever fishing rod, and I was able to bring that down to the house. So I'm sure Lloyd is 3 days old and already has his first fishing rod. So I'm telling you, and his hands are they're like my father's. This kid, it's like he was born to hold a hammer. He'll probably be the first 4-year-old carrying up two bundles of shingles at once.
Fantastic. What a great time. Well, congratulations again, Eddie. I know you feel mighty proud. If you have a home improvement question, 651-461-9226, by all means, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Speaking of phones, Andy, we've got a call coming in from Sarah, calling in from Lake Elmo. Hi, Sarah. What is your question for Andy?
Good morning. We have custom cabinets. They're cherry. They were in the home when we bought the house in 2018, originally built in 2008. And they're beautiful, but right around the knobs, the poles, and, you know, different areas, there's scuffs and scratches. And I've tried just about every, you know, cabinet cleaner I can find from, you know, home improvement stores, things I've read online, just to clean them up and give them a fresh new life. But it's not doing the job. It looks like the top layer of perhaps top coat or varnish in specifically around those high pull areas has worn down. Do you know, or can you recommend any resources that could help me perhaps take all the drawer fronts and door fronts off to give these cabinets a new life? Because they're beautiful, but they need some TLC.
You know, not an uncommon problem to have around, especially around the knobs and outside of the cleaners. Barkeeper's Friend is always a good one, but if it's getting through the varnish and it's actually staining the wood, and I would do this, I would remove the doors, remove the knobs, and then I would look at sanding and refinishing the faces. And you might be able to bring that to an actual wood shop or somebody that does that type of finishing and have them do it. Mm-hmm. and have those refinished and then just reinstall the cabinets. The nice part about – or reinstall the faces or the whatever, the covers of the cabinets. It's, you know, it's all can be done with a screwdriver. So this is something that a do-it-yourselfer can do. And then start with the – the highest grit sandpaper you can and kind of go from there. But then more than likely, you're going to have to stain them and then put the varnish over the top again. So it's not going to be a quick project, but it's definitely something that can be the difference of, you know, 10, 15, 20 years to the cabinets, or, and way, way cheaper than replacing all the cabinets or replacing all of the and just refacing them. A lot of people do that. They have to put in all new faces of their cabinets, all new drawers, all new everything. So this is going to be a cheaper project than that. But, and as far as do-it-yourselfers, this is one that a lot of do-it-yourselfers tackle and can do pretty good with.
It's a lot of work, but boy, I love cherry wood. That's something you want to hang on to. At least I would.
Yeah, and they're custom cabinets too. So you know, it's. But I would be willing to bet that if you removed all of the damaged areas and brought those to a custom cabinet maker, they could probably refinish them for you, and then you can just reinstall them.
I think it'd be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting. Well, good luck with that, Sarah. Thank you for the call. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Well, interesting. Well, good luck with that, Sarah. Thank you for the call. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a home improvement question you may have in mind, you can ask Andy Lindis that very question again, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Listener wants to know the difference in the listener and listeners hear us talking, you talking about class 4 shingles. They were offered a class 3 shingle. They want to know what's the difference. What are class 3 shingles? What are class 4 shingles? A good question.
My experience is class 3 shingles don't really help you a whole lot. I've seen those damaged way more often than the class 4 shingles. It has to do with the size of the hail that will damage that shingle. So class 3, it's a smaller hail that will damage it versus a class 4. I think class 4, it has to be, it's a 2-inch sphere that's dropped from X amount of feet with X amount of pressure. And as long as it can survive that, then it gets a class 4 rating. And you have to be really careful because some of these hail ratings have been, I don't want to say fudged, but if they're done by the company that is manufacturing of the product, I wouldn't trust it so much, especially the class 3. Stuff. I would stay away from it. It's not worth the money. But I'm telling you, Denny, if anything, what has shown us over the last 6-7 weeks of rain, with the amount of roofing that we've been called out to try to repair leaks, that class 4 shingle, class 3 shingle, the best shingle in the world, if it was installed wrong and not flashed properly, it can cause hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars worth of damage. So, and I'm telling you, if your roof is over 5 or 10 years old and you haven't had it inspected and looked at any of the caulking or the flashing or the venting or your pipe boots or any of those problem areas that we normally find on a roof, and that leaks, it again, just looking in your attic and some of the best advice I think I can give everyone is 15 minutes of roof maintenance a year can save you thousands of dollars. And if you're not comfortable doing that, there's lots of companies out there, us included, that will inspect your roof for free. And if there's something that we have to repair on it, we can let you know what that process is. And Denny, the amount of roof repair leads and phone calls we've received over the last month because of think the amount of rain that we've had this year.
Yeah.
And couple that with not a lot of rain last year and the amount of storms that have come through our area of the world in the last 5 years. So we got a lot of storm damage, storm chaser roofs that have been installed over the last, five, six, seven, decade.
Yep.
Sometimes they're not installed the best. And then they leak. And those leaks cause wood rot, mold, you name it. And if you haven't inspected your roof in a while or haven't looked in your attic to see if there's any stains, I would highly recommend it, because if you find those problems quick, before they become wood rot, it's just a leak, that's a fixable thing. It could be a difference of a $50 fix or a $5,000 fix. And I've been seeing way too many $5,000 fixes lately, Denny, mm-hmm. where it's just because of the amount of wood rot, something that could have taken 10 minutes, now it turns into like a 5-day project.
Yeah. And thing, like you said, things are showing up really a lot more because of all these showers we've had, a lot of rain. Anyway, hang on, Andy. We're going to take a quick break and invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, could be about roofing, could it be about decks, siding, whatever the case may be, maybe windows. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, a little fog still reported, a little mist. Otherwise, the cloudy skies still have chances of showers today. Our highs will be around 75, but Sunday, tomorrow, will be the best day of the weekend weather-wise. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs near 81. Again, 68 degrees currently on Newstalk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We are here, thanks to Linda's Construction, every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, welcoming your home improvement type of questions, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Denny Long here, along with Andy Lindis. Andy, a bunch of questions. Let's get to them. This listener wants to know, what's the best decking material and places to see choices? And the first thing on my mind would be to call Linda's, and like whatever the project is, you guys will come out free, that first visit always free. Mm-hmm. But you can get somebody from your decking folks, they'll come out and show you directly, you know, and talk about it so you can see it. And it's not going to cost you anything. You'll get a lot of good information, right?
Yeah, and you're going to be able to touch and feel a variety of materials, whether those are railing materials or the actual decking itself, because there's a couple of different types of composite decking that you can get and use, or some of the natural wood varieties, and whether that's the treated lumber options or cedar or some of the other varieties of wood out there. There's really not a material that we haven't used or aren't familiar with when it comes to decking. You're even going to be able to see some of the framing options and footing options that we have available. So you're going to go through the entire design process and go through some costs all in one visit. So it's worth putting you know, that hour, 90 minutes aside to meet with, you know, and, you know, not to toot our own horn, but the people that I have designing decks in Charlie, Dave, Jordan, Luke, and Jake, they're as good as it gets in the country at what they do. And all of these people come from a building background. They're not just estimators and they're not salespeople by any stretch of the imagination. They are experts at decking and will tell you what is possible, not only from the design standpoint, but from code standpoint and setbacks and all of those other factors that you have to bring into a project like decking. These people and my people are as good as it gets on designing it. So, and that's a free service. And for me, when you look at all of the decking material out there, and I can use, in fact, I would be willing to bet that if I were to be building a deck on my house, I could start calling around to manufacturers and they would all give me decking. I would pay to have millboard. I think millboard is so much different than the rest of the composite decking out there. And I can say this because at my home, currently, I have four types of decking because I'm testing it and I want to see how it works differently. The expansion contraction rates are all different. And today, you know, with the mistiness and the fog, like my Zuri decking is slippery. On that mm-hmm. same deck, my millboard decking is not slippery. And it doesn't get warm. And it looks better than any of the other decking out there. And we've done some pretty cool projects as of late. Over the top of rubber roofs, we have a new pier system that we've done on some flat roof areas or porch areas. I think if you're looking at decking, exploring millboard is at least worth it. If you can, and when you're talking about pricing, comparatively speaking, one composite decking versus another, it's not that different. I mean, it's not that much more to use millboard versus some of the other higher-end composite decks.
And, of course, budget. You know, people are limited with their budget as well. But like you mentioned, whatever the material is, you're going to learn about what material you would like, you can afford, what's best. Now, this listener is one. You already answered the question. The best decking material you think is millboard. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but if somebody calls Lindis out and they like what they hear, and they say, yeah, let's get to it. Are they going to be able to enjoy a deck before fall hits, do you think?
Maybe it's getting close to where I'd have to say no to that.
Well, it's
that,
almost
that,
July.
That question
it's almost
sooner,
July
sooner, sooner or later. But and remember, like I think about 6 weeks ago, I was telling people, I'm like, hey, you should, if you're thinking about home improvements, now's the time to act. Well, you would have been, our lead times were a lot more palatable 6 weeks ago than they are today. They're still good. We can still accomplish a lot in within, you know, a month, month and a half time frame.
Sure.
But the phone has been ringing the last 6 weeks. The rain has slowed a lot of projects down, so we're not installing as much. So it's kind of a, you know, a double-edged sword. The rain makes the phones ring and makes people call us out to fix their houses, but it also slows our install down. So we're adding to the backlog in two ways right now, and I get a feeling a month from now I won't be able to say yes to completing your deck this fall.
But at least it's worth a call, and it's a free visit to check it out. At least it's something you'll – there's more information. More information is better than less. So 844-9 Lindis.
Exactly. And the longer you put it off, the more it's going to cost, and the longer it never gets cheaper. So costs and lead times go up the longer you wait. And, again, it's a free service, so it's worth the 90-minute wait or 90 minutes of your time to figure it out.
Give Lindis a call this coming week if you like, 844-9-LINDIS. Andy, we'll take a break, quick break for weather. We'll see what, see if this rain will back off a little bit this coming week. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our home improvement show on this first official weekend of summer. Denny Long here, along with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. I don't think I spelled it yet. L-I-N-D-U-S. New Grandpa Andy Lindis answering those home improvement questions. We have a bunch here. Andy, if you want to call it in, if you want to text it in, here's just one number for either. 651-461-9226. Andy, a texter says they got installed a TimberTech deck, and they are wondering, we get this question from time to time, how the heck do I clean it?
You know, for me, on my composite decking, I use Dawn dish soap and a good bristle brush and a electric pressure washer that maxes out at 1,800 PSI. Now, TimberTech makes a specific deck cleaner for that decking. One thing you have to keep in mind is do not use other composite deck cleaners on non-brand specific decking, because some
What'll
of these
composite, happen?
They can leave this white like film on it, and not all of the composite decking is made out of the same material. So if you buy a cleaner specifically made to clean that one material, you could harm TimberTech. And TimberTech has some different materials, and you can read about that online. If you go in and you look at, like, how to, if you just put into any search engine how to clean TimberTech, you go to TimberTech's website, there's a whole list of do's and don'ts for you on that product. And if you're one of our customers and you don't have it anymore, we can give you that list. Call whoever your estimator was or the office. Anybody there can help you get that information. We can email it to you so you know exactly what to use. But for me, Dawn dish soap, a brush, and an electric pressure washer cleans almost everything on the exterior of the home. Okay. I don't have any fancy special cleaners or anything like that. I have an AZEK decking that I had a little fish fry incident, Denny. So some oil got on the deck. And I went after that with a pretty heavy degreaser, and I was able to get most of the oil stain out of the deck, but it kind of lightened that area of the decking somewhat. So, once stains like that can be really hard to deal with on composite decking, but it's just something that, a little bit of elbow grease goes a long ways. But, and do not let any of the cleaners dry on composite decking. Start in a small area. You don't want it to be too sunny or too warm. Because all of those cleaners, you know, if it get, they left out in the sun and they dry on the area, I'm telling you, they can be really, really hard to come off.
And you mentioned an electric pressure washer, and certainly we've over the years we've talked about using pressure washer to clean wood decks, being very careful. Mm-hmm. What can happen with if there's too much pressure or different nozzle degrees on you know the various nozzles? What can happen to a composite deck?
You could scar the composite decking as well. You could with, you know, I have a pressure washer, Denny, that, I don't know, 3,800 PSI, and that thing will take the paint off a car. So if you're using the wrong pressure, you could start to cut the decking, and I would just stay away from that. And that's why I'm telling you, the little electric pressure washer, the reason why I like that one is because mine maxes out at 1,500 PSI. And so I can't screw it up. It's impossible for me to hold that pressure washer in one area too long and harm anything because it's just not enough pressure. But it's better than an actual hose. And so that's why I use that. And once a year, it does good on the entire exterior of the home. I'd be careful like on vinyl siding and steel siding with a pressure washer. You know, you can spray water into the home that way. Remember, there's weep holes on that type of siding.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to just use a regular hose and let it waterfall down.
Very good. Let's grab another phone call, Andy, this morning. Sterling calling in from Kesson, Minnesota this morning. Sterling, you're on CCO with Andy. What is your question for Andy? Hello, hello. Are you there, Sterling?
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
There you are. How can we help you?
Well, I've got a comment for Andy. I had leaf guard gutters put on in 2000, and best money I ever spent.
Oh, fantastic.
Especially this time of year, right? I mean, with all the rain. Yeah.
I haven't had touch the ladder or touch the gutter since.
How about that, Andy? I mean, that's what it's all about. I think about people who are... I was going to ask you about that. I mean, can your installers still... I know they're so busy because of all the rain and the calls you're getting. But I'm sure some of your installers have installed in the rain before, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, you have to be really, really careful, though, and you know... Some of these rainstorms that we've been having, you know, there might be an hour or two of the day where we can't work, and then it's going to mist a little bit. But again, you're setting up ladders and planks. That can get slippery, so you have to be really careful. And we've had some pretty crazy wind too last week, and setting up ladders and getting on roofs in that wind, not advisable. So we've shut down some, again, more days shut down this year than all of last year already, as far as being able to install anything. But, you know, it is what it is. We're going to work our way through it. And if jobs take a little bit longer, they will. But we definitely do install gutters in the rain at times. Now, roofing, no. We won't do that because you're just opening up to, and anytime you're opening up a house or you're exposing wood, chances are we're not going to do that in the rain. But gutters, a lot of times, you know, houses aren't leveled, Denny. So, yes, we're going to use our levels. We're going to chalk a line. We're going to try to make sure the flow of the water is doing what it's supposed to be doing. So, meaning, once water gets inside your gutter, it's just not going to sit there and be mosquito breeding grounds. We want that water to get out of the out of the gutters, out the downspout, and away from the house. Now, I had a brand new home I was working on in circa 1999, and it was a 12-foot section on a brand new house, Denny. Now, I dropped that section 2.5 inches and still had water flowing the wrong way. That's how out of level this brand new home was. So at that point in time, you know, and it was raining. That's why I remember that day. I was watching, I'm like, there's no way. I keep dropping the gutter and the water's still going the wrong way. And so we ended up having to talk with the customer and change the location of the downspout because of the way the house was. So when we're installing in the rain, we get to see our stuff work right away. That's kind of fun.
Instant feedback. We got a text, Andy, from for those that maybe joined us a little bit late. We had an earlier caller who had custom cabinets that were cherry, wonderful wood. And this listener said, here's a follow-up to that previous caller. My cabinet faces are scratched and in the same shape. However, the previous owners used pine, I think, he or she says. Can I still sand and refinish? The oak we used when we built was much easier to maintain beauty. But, yeah, pine can be kind of iffy, especially. I mean, it's like a sponge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as it's not like there's some type of veneer you're going to be sanding through, but it's worth a shot. But, again, think of what new pine doors and refacing with new material would cost. So if you can sand them and refinish them, the nice part is, you know, you can start with one. See what it looks like. See if it passed the test for you. If this is something that you think you want to do the rest of them, then you can do the rest of them. But pine, yes, it is softer, and that's why it won't last as long as oak, and it is definitely needs more maintenance than oak. But if you can sand away and not get, you know, damage the wood, then yeah, you should be able to refinish it. And if you use the right type of finish, chances are it's going to last longer than you seal it up, then it's going to last longer than what the old one does.
Yeah. Labor of love, for sure, though.
Labor of love, for sure.
Yeah. Hang on, Andy. We'll take this quick break, invite our listeners to come on back, and with any kind of a home improvement question, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, as I mentioned earlier, 68 degrees. Some fog and mist reported. Still a chance of showers and thunderstorms today with highs around 75, but a beautiful Sunday predicted tomorrow with sunshine and near 81 degrees. Again, 68 right now on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And again, good morning to you. Welcome back to our home improvement show. Thanks to Linda's Construction. We are around every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour answering those home improvement questions. This is Andy Lindis, 651-461-9226. And I'm looking at the date today, still June. This is the 22nd. What kind of deals can still be had at Lindis during this month of June?
50% off labor on leaf guard gutters, the only gutter system guaranteed never to clog, and the only product Lindis Construction hasn't tried to upgrade in 34 years now. So that's how long we've been installing leaf guard around the Twin Cities metro area, and we've got over 70,000 customers and still only one service guy. So, and we also have 50% off labor, GAF asphalt roofing, and 75% off labor on Infinity Windows by Marvin.
Am I correct in saying that one number is the easiest one to get to, Lindis? 8449-LINDIS?
You got it.
That's it. 8449-LINDIS. Yeah, take advantage of that. Back to the text questions. And by the way, if you want to call in, we still have time for your phone calls, too, at 651-461-9226. Let's grab another text, though. Here is, in fact, Andy, there are a couple of them from different parts of the state. They're both dealing with treated lumber on a deck. One is 8 years plus a deck, and one is 10 years plus. And both listeners have used solid stains, but they don't last. And they both have the same question. I know what your answer is going to be. Would primer and paint be better, basically? Because the stain, the listeners say, they just peels off. Would primer and paint be better? On both of those, interesting. They're both almost identical.
Yeah, you know, I've never tried to prime and paint treated lumber. Now, I have a hard time thinking you're not going to get similar results, because what is happening, your stain isn't penetrating that wood because it's treated lumber. It's lumber that is pressure treated, designed not to allow anything else to penetrate that lumber, like the oil-based stains. So chances are 1-2 years is about as much life as you get about after staining those types of decks. It's just the way it is. Now, I've seen some epoxy or polyurea finishes on the outside of decking, solid colors that have lasted okay. But if it were for me, before I did it, because Denny, once, you know, it's one thing for stain to start to wear away.
Yeah.
But if a solid color paint starts to peel up, it's going to be really obvious and you're going to hate walking on it. I would test the sunniest spot or get a piece of lumber. treated lumber, prime it and paint it, put it on the deck, and see how long it lasts. See what it looks like in a month, and what your thoughts are. But I've never seen it last that long. We did it on a cedar deck when I was a kid. We had a solid color blue cedar deck. I remember that but it was an oil-based stain that got us that dark blue color. And we removed that oil-based stain with a pressure washer that was part pressure washer, part sandblaster. And then refinished it, and that was the last time that deck was refinished. And it's now a composite deck, Denny, so I'm never worrying about that again.
You and I have talked about this for many years, and I can't remember how many years ago I tried that by mistake. I thought, I don't like this stain, it's not working, so I'm going to paint it using a solid color. And I tell you what, that does not hold up. And then what I really found out, to start all over, you got to sand. You can't just scrape and hope that it'll come off. So it's, I guess in a nutshell, I and you would probably agree, I would not do it. Solid color stain maybe, but not a paint. All right. Another text says this. Our cabin is surrounded by large white pine trees. The roof gets a lot of needles on it. Is that bad for the asphalt shingles to leave the needles on the roof? It's too steep to walk on. So removing them would probably require an annual visit from a professional. What can pine needles do to an asphalt roof or shingles?
Any type of tree debris on asphalt roofing is not good, or any type of roofing. It can lead to all sorts of things. It'll start to deteriorate the shingles. Other things can start to grow in there. It'll hold water behind it, and it can lead to more ice dams. This is, you don't want any type of tree debris standing on your roof that should be removed. And this is why that annual maintenance is something that should be done. And it, again, even a little much as a tree rubbing against that roof can cause damage. So it's not that they don't have to be up there, but if you let pine needles stay like in a valley area year after year after year, I'd be willing to bet that valley area on your roof's lifespan will be cut in half compared to the rest of the roofing. So you could be taking a 50-year roof and turning it into a 25-year roof, or a 25-year roof, and now it's going to start failing in 12 years. It's just something to keep in mind. The more, they weren't designed to hold tree debris on them. But if you're not comfortable getting up there, then don't. So the best part about this text message is they understood that, and that they would have to get a professional out on a regular basis. Or they make contraptions that you can do it from the ground. I wouldn't use a roof rake in this situation, but they make some of those roof rakes that have rollers. And if you can maybe get up there from that standpoint, then it could be safe. For us, when we get out there, Denny, and we look at situations like this, or you're part of a maintenance program, we're going to use a backpack blower and blow the entire roof off. And then, it might be a good time, too, when you have somebody out to do that. Now look at all of the caulking, look at all of your flashing, and see if there's any maintenance that needs to happen on there. Again, that $10 fix can save you a lot of money down the road, but you never want to have tree debris sitting on your roof.
No. Less than 2 minutes to go on the show, Andy. Let's grab this final text. Another pressure washer question. Can I pressure wash my stucco siding on my house? What's the max pressure I should use, and what kind of cleaning material? What about the stucco?
I'd still be... The lighter the pressure, the better. I've never tried to clean stucco. I've never had a stucco home. But I would be really careful with a pressure washer and stucco. Just from my time working on stucco, like drilling into stucco, I watch it crumble. And if you have any type of cracks and you use a pressure washer on your stucco, you might actually start to pull away the stucco or blast away the stucco, so to speak. So I wouldn't. I'd be really careful. And again, a scrub brush, Dawn dish soap, and a regular hose does wonders. And sometimes, believe it or not, it's actually faster to do that than with a pressure washer, especially if you're limited by the amount of pressure you can use.
Yeah, good point. Well, Andy, we're limited. We're out of time, as a matter of fact. Let's join forces here next week and take care of some more business next Saturday morning. What do you say?
Sounds good, and hopefully we have a little less rain this week than last week. It looks like we're going to get some stuff done too, Denny, so it's looking good. I don't know for the Lindises as a whole. It's going to be tough to top this week. I mean, brand new grandbaby, and we had another family member via marriage all in 1 week. It's tough to beat this week, Denny.
It's a great week. Well, enjoy it and wallow in it. It's great, and it passes by so quickly. Thanks, Andy. We'll talk next week.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Denny Long, thanking you for your company. Dennis Matuszak, thank you. See you next week. Yes, indeed, we are awaiting any kind of a home improvement question you might have this morning at 651-461-9226. Let's say good morning to Grandpa Andy.
Lindis. How are you, Denny? It's a big week.
I'm doing well, but how are you? You're still up in cloud nine, aren't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was. It's been awesome. Yeah, first ever grandchild was born on the 19th. Lloyd Lindis, healthy 9.5-pound baby boy. Mom is doing great. Their mom and dad and baby are home now. They got home yesterday around lunchtime, and the doctors and everybody were awesome. It was a great experience. And Denny, like talk about the best weeks ever. Today, my brother's son and my nephew is getting married to Callie. And if anybody's had an appointment by Lindis Construction for an estimate over the last couple of years, chances are you've talked to Callie on the phone. That's what she does at Lindis, is helps set up the estimates for us. So it's a big week. We gained a grandson, and my nephew is getting married. So we added a boy and a girl to the family this week.
How about now? Lloyd obviously was a big baby.
Oh, yeah.
Now, who was he named after? Was anybody in particular in the family?
You know, my daughter-in-law's mother's grandfather was named Lloyd, and it turns out that on my wife's side there was a Lloyd as well. So it is a family name, and then the same middle name as my son and my father and myself. So it's Lloyd Paul Lindis, and we're pretty excited. Now, I wonder if I need to let the folks at LP know. You know, this is naming rights, meaning that this kid's initials are LP, and we're big smart side folks. So I know the kids are looking at some siding down the road. Might be able to get a discount from those LP folks with a kid like Lloyd on the docket.
Well, congratulations to you and your bride and the whole family, and welcome Lloyd. I would imagine that somewhere down the road, you might be doing a little coaching on hockey if he's interested, and maybe taking him fishing. Just a guess.
You know, that's a really good guess. In fact, yesterday I'd kept my son's first ever fishing rod, and was able to bring that down to the house. So I'm sure Lloyd is 3 days old and already has his first fishing rod. So I'm telling you, and his hands are they're like my father's. This kid, it's like he was born to hold a hammer. He'll probably be the first 4-year-old carrying up 2 bundles of shingles at once.
Fantastic. What a great time. Well, congratulations again, Eddie. I know you feel mighty proud. If you have a home improvement question, 651-461-9226. By all means, we'd love to hear from you either by phone or by text. Speaking of phones, Andy, we've got a call coming in from Sarah, calling in from Lake Elmo. Hi, Sarah. What is your question for Andy?
Good morning. We have custom cabinets. They're cherry. They were in the home when we bought the house in 2018, originally built in 2008. And they're beautiful, but right around the knobs, the poles, and, you know, different areas, there's scuffs and scratches. And I've tried just about every, you know, cabinet cleaner I can find from, you know, home improvement stores, things I've read online, just to clean them up and give them a fresh new life. But it's not doing the job. It looks like the top layer of perhaps top coat or varnish in specifically around those high pull areas has worn down. Do you know, or can you recommend any resources that could help me perhaps take all the drawer fronts and door fronts off to give these cabinets a new life? Because they're beautiful, but they need some TLC.
Hmm.
You know, not an uncommon problem to have around, especially around the knobs. And outside of the cleaners, Barkeeper's Friend is always a good one. But if it's getting through the varnish and it's actually staining the wood, and I would do this, I would remove the doors, remove the knobs, and then I would look at sanding and refinishing the faces. And you might be able to bring that to an actual wood shop or somebody that does that type of finishing and have them do it,
mm-hmm.
and have those refinished and then just reinstall the cabinets. The nice part about – or reinstall the faces or the whatever, the covers of the cabinets. It's, you know, it's all can be done with a screwdriver. So this is something that a do-it-yourselfer can do, and then start with the highest grit sandpaper you can and kind of go from there. But then more than likely you're going to have to stain them and then put the varnish over the top again. So it's not going to be a quick project, but it's definitely something that can be the difference of you know, 10, 15, 20 years to the cabinets, or and way, way cheaper than replacing all the cabinets or replacing all of the and just refacing them. A lot of people do that. They have to put in all new faces of their cabinets, all new drawers, all new everything. So this is going to be a cheaper project than that. But and as far as do-it-yourselfers, this is one that a lot of do-it-yourselfers tackle and can do pretty good with.
It's a lot of work, but boy, I love cherry wood. That's something you want to hang on to. At least I
would. Yeah, and they're custom cabinets too. So you know, it's. But I would be willing to bet that if you removed all of the damaged areas and brought those to a custom cabinet maker, they could probably refinish them for you, and then you can just reinstall them.
I think it'd be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, interesting. Well, good luck with that, Sarah. Thank you for the call. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a home improvement question you may have. Well, interesting. Well, good luck with that, Sarah. Thank you for the call. 651-461-9226. Any kind of a home improvement question you may have in mind, you can ask Andy Lindis that very question. Again, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Listener wants to know the difference in the listener and listeners hear us talking, you talking about class 4 shingles. They were offered a class 3 shingle. They want to know what's the difference. What are class 3 shingles? What are class 4 shingles? A good question.
My experience is class 3 shingles don't really help you a whole lot. I've seen those damaged way more often than the class 4 shingles. It has to do with the size of the hail that will damage that shingle. So class 3, it's a smaller hail that will damage it versus a class 4. I think class 4, it has to be, it's a 2-inch sphere that's dropped from X amount of feet with X amount of pressure. And as long as it can survive that, then it gets a class 4 rating. And you have to be really careful because some of these hail ratings have been, I don't want to say fudged, but if they're done by the company that is manufacturing of the product, I wouldn't trust it so much, especially the class 3. Stuff. I would stay away from it. It's not worth the money. But I'm telling you, Denny, if anything, what has shown us over the last 6-7 weeks of rain, with the amount of roofing that we've been called out to try to repair leaks, that class 4 shingle, class 3 shingle, the best shingle in the world, if it was installed wrong and not flashed properly, it can cause hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars worth of damage. So, and I'm telling you, if your roof is over 5 or 10 years old and you haven't had it inspected and looked at your any of the caulking or the flashing or the venting or your pipe boots or any of those problem areas that we normally find on a roof, and that leaks, it again, just looking in your attic and some of the best advice I think I can give everyone is 15 minutes of roof maintenance a year can save you thousands of dollars. And if you're not comfortable doing that, there's lots of companies out there, us included, that will inspect your roof for free. And if there's something that we have to repair on it, we can let you know what that process is. And Denny, the amount of roof repair leads and phone calls we've received over the last month because of the, you know, just think the amount of rain that we've had this year.
Yeah.
And couple that with not a lot of rain last year and the amount of storms that have come through our area of the world in the last 5 years. So we got a lot of storm damage, storm chaser roofs that have been installed over the last, you know, five, six, seven, you know, decade.
Yep.
Sometimes they're not installed the best. and then they leak. And those leaks cause wood rot, mold, you name it. And if you haven't inspected your roof in a while or haven't looked in your attic to see if there's any stains, I would highly recommend it, because if you find those problems quick, you know, before they become wood rot, it's just a leak, that's a fixable thing. It could be a difference of a $50 fix or a $5,000 fix. And I've been seeing way too many $5,000 fixes lately, Denny, mm-hmm. where it's just because of the amount of wood rot, you know, it's something that could have taken 10 minutes. Now it turns into like a 5-day project.
Yeah. And like you said, things are showing up really a lot more because of all these showers we've had, a lot of rain. Anyway, hang on, Andy. We're going to take a quick break and invite our listeners to join in. If you have any kind of a home improvement question, could be about roofing, could it be about decks, siding, whatever the case may be, maybe windows. Call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, a little fog still reported, a little mist. Otherwise, a cloudy sky. Still have chances of showers today. Our highs will be around 75, but Sunday, tomorrow, will be the best day of the weekend weather-wise. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs near 81. Again, 68 degrees currently on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. We are here, thanks to Linda's Construction, every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour, welcoming your home improvement type of questions, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Denny Long here, along with Andy Lindis. Andy, a bunch of questions. Let's get to them. This listener wants to know, what's the best decking material and places to see choices? And the first thing on my mind would be to call Linda's, and like whatever the project is, you guys will come out free, that first visit always free. But you can get somebody from your decking folks, they'll come out and show you directly, you know, and talk about it so you can see it. And it's not going to cost you anything. You'll get a lot of good information, right?
Yeah, and you're going to be able to touch and feel a variety of materials, whether those are railing materials or the actual decking itself, because there's a couple of different types of composite decking that you can get and use, or some of the natural wood varieties, and whether that's the treated lumber options or cedar or some of the other varieties of wood out there. There's really not a material that we haven't used or aren't familiar with when it comes to decking. You're even going to be able to see some of the framing options and footing options that we have available. So you're going to go through the entire design process and go through some costs all in one visit. So it's worth putting that hour, 90 minutes aside to meet with, not to toot our own horn, but the people that I have designing decks in Charlie, Dave, Jordan, Luke, and Jake, they're as good as it gets in the country at what they do. And all of these people come from a building background. They're not just estimators and they're not salespeople by any stretch of the imagination. They are experts at decking and will tell you what is possible, not only from the design standpoint, but from code standpoint and setbacks and all of those other factors that you have to bring into a project like decking. These people and my people are as good as it gets on designing it. So, and that's a free service. And for me, when you look at all of the decking material out there, and I can use, in fact, I would be willing to bet that if I were to be building a deck on my house, I could start calling around to manufacturers and they would all give me decking. I would pay to have millboard. I think millboard is so much different than the rest of the composite decking out there. And I can say this because at my home, currently, I have four types of decking because I'm testing it and I want to see how it works differently. The expansion contraction rates are all different. And today, with the mistiness and the fog, like my Zuri decking is slippery. On that same deck, my millboard decking is not slippery, and it doesn't get warm, and it looks better than any of the other decking out there. And we've done some pretty cool projects as of late. Over the top of rubber roofs, we have a new pier system that we've done on some flat roof areas or porch areas. I think if you're looking at decking, exploring Millboard is at least worth it. If you can, and when you're talking about pricing, comparatively speaking, one composite decking versus another, it's not that different. I mean, it's not that much more to use Millboard versus some of the other higher-end composite decks.
And, of course, budget, you know, people are limited with their budget as well. But like you mentioned, whatever the material is, you're going to learn about what material you would like, you can afford, what's best. Now, this listener is one, you already answered the question. The best decking material you think is Millboard. And I don't want to put you on the spot, but if somebody calls Lindis out and they like what they hear and they say, yeah, let's get to it, are they going to be able to enjoy a deck before fall hits, do you think?
Maybe it's getting close to where I have to say no to that.
Well, it's
that,
almost
that,
July.
That question
it's almost
sooner, July sooner, sooner or later. But and remember, like I think about 6 weeks ago, I was telling people, I'm like, hey, you should, if you're thinking about home improvements, now's the time to act. Well, you would have been, our lead times were a lot more palatable 6 weeks ago than they are today. They're still good. We can still accomplish a lot in within, you know, a month, month and a half time frame.
Sure.
But the phone has been ringing the last 6 weeks. The rain has slowed a lot of projects down, so we're not installing as much. So it's kind of a, you know, a double-edged sword. The rain makes the phones ring and makes people call us out to fix their houses, but it also slows our install down. So we're adding to the backlog in two ways right now, and I get a feeling a month from now I won't be able to say yes to completing your deck this fall.
But at least it's worth a call, and it's a free visit to check it out. At least it's something you'll – there's more information. More information is better than less. So 8449-LINDIS.
Exactly. And the longer you put it off, the more it's going to cost, and the longer it never gets cheaper. So costs and lead times go up the longer you wait. And again, it's a free service, so it's worth the 90-minute wait or 90 minutes of your time to figure it out.
Give Lindis a call this coming week if you like, 8449-LINDIS. Andy, we'll take a break, quick break for weather. We'll see see if this rain will back off a little bit this coming week. Stay with us, News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our home improvement show on this first official weekend of summer. Denny Long here along with Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. I don't think I spelled it yet. L-I-N-D-U-S. New Grandpa Andy Lindis answering those home improvement questions. We have a bunch here. Andy, if you want to call it in, if you want to text it in, here's just one number for either. 651-461-9226. Andy, a texter says they got installed a TimberTech deck, and they are wondering, we get this question from time to time, how the heck do I clean it?
You know, for me, on my composite decking, I use Dawn dish soap and a good bristle brush and a electric pressure washer that maxes out at 1,800 PSI. Now, TimberTech makes a specific deck cleaner for that decking. One thing you have to keep in mind is do not use other composite deck cleaners on non-brand specific decking, because some
What'll
of these
composite, happen?
They can leave this white like film on it, and not all of the composite decking is made out of the same material. So if you buy a cleaner specifically made to clean that one material, you could harm TimberTech. And TimberTech has some different materials, and you can read about that online. If you go in and you look at, like, if you just put into any search engine how to clean TimberTech, you go to TimberTech's website, there's a whole list of do's and don'ts for you on that product. And if you're one of our customers and you don't have it anymore, we can give you that list. Call whoever your estimator was or the office. Anybody there can help you get that information. We can email it to you so you know exactly what to use. But For me, Dawn dish soap, a brush, and an electric pressure washer cleans almost everything on the exterior of the home. I don't have any fancy special cleaners or anything like that. I have an AZEK decking that I had a little fish fry incident, Denny. So some oil got on the deck, and I went after that with a pretty heavy degreaser. And I was able to get most of the oil stain out of the deck, but it kind of lightened that area of the decking somewhat. So, once stains like that can be really hard to deal with on composite decking, but it's just something that a little bit of elbow grease goes a long ways. But and do not let any of the cleaners dry on composite decking. Start in a small area. You don't want it to be too sunny or too warm. Because all of those cleaners, if they left out in the sun and they dry on the area, I'm telling you, they can be really, really hard to come off.
And you mentioned an electric pressure washer, and certainly over the years we've talked about using pressure washer to clean wood decks, being very careful. Mm-hmm. What can happen with if there's too much pressure or different nozzle degrees on the various nozzles? What can happen to a composite deck?
You could scar the composite decking as well. You could I have a pressure washer, Denny, that I don't know, 3,800 PSI, and that thing will take the paint off a car. So if you're using the wrong pressure, you could start to cut the decking, and I would just stay away from that. And that's why I'm telling you, those the little electric pressure washer. The reason why I like that one is because mine maxes out at 1,500 PSI. And so I can't screw it up. It's impossible for me to hold that pressure washer in one area too long and harm anything because it's just not enough pressure. But it's better than an actual hose. And so that's why I use that. And once a year, it does good on the entire exterior of the home. I'd be careful on vinyl siding and steel siding with a pressure washer. You can spray water into the home that way. Remember, there's weep holes on that type of siding.
Oh, yeah.
So I like to just use a regular hose and let it water fall down.
Very good. Let's grab another phone call, Andy, this morning. Sterling calling in from Kesson, Minnesota this morning. Sterling, you're on CCO with Andy. What is your question for Andy? Hello, hello. Are you there, Sterling?
Hello.
There you are.
Hello.
There you are. How can we help you?
Well, I've got a comment for Andy. I had leaf guard gutters put on in 2000, and best money I ever spent.
Oh, fantastic.
Especially this time of year, right? I mean, with all the rain. Yeah.
I haven't had touch the ladder or touch the gutter since.
How about that, Andy? I mean, that's what it's all about. I think about people who are. I was going to ask you about that. I mean, can your installers still? I know they're so busy because of all the rain and the calls you're getting, but I'm sure some of your installers have installed in the rain before, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. You have to be really, really careful though, and some of these rainstorms that we've been having, there might be an hour or two of the day where we can't work, and then it's going to mist a little bit. But again, you're setting up ladders and planks. That can get slippery. So you have to be really careful. And we've had some pretty crazy wind too last week. And
oh, yeah.
Setting up ladders and getting on roofs in that wind, not advisable. So we've shut down some, again, more days shut down this year than all of last year already, as far as being able to install anything. But it is what it is. We're going to work our way through it, and if jobs take a little bit longer, they will. But we definitely do install gutters in the rain at times. Now, roofing, no. We won't do that because you're just opening up to – and anytime you're opening up a house or you're exposing wood, chances are we're not going to do that in the rain. But gutters, a lot of times, houses aren't leveled, Denny. So, yes, we're going to use our levels. We're going to chalk a line. We're going to try to make sure the flow of the water is doing what it's supposed to be doing. So, meaning, once water gets inside your gutter, it's just not going to sit there and be mosquito breeding grounds. We want that water to get out of the out of the gutters, out the downspout, and away from the house. Now, I had a brand new home I was working on in circa 1999. And it was a 12-foot section on a brand new house, Denny. And now, I had dropped that section 2.5 inches and still had water flowing the wrong way. That's how out of level this brand new home was. So at that point in time, you know, and it was raining. That's why I remember that day. I was watching. I'm like, there's no way. I keep dropping the gutter and the water's still going the wrong way. And so we ended up having to talk with the customer and change the location of the downspout because of the way the house was. So when we're installing in the rain, we get to see our stuff work right away. That's kind of fun.
Instant feedback. We got a text, Andy, from for those that maybe joined us a little bit late. We had an earlier caller who had custom cabinets that were cherry, wonderful wood. And this listener said, here's a follow-up to that previous caller. My cabinet faces are scratched and in the same shape. However, the previous owners used pine, I think, he or she says. Can I still sand and refinish? The oak we used when we built was much easier to maintain beauty. But, yeah, pine can be kind of iffy, especially. I mean, it's like a sponge, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, as long as it's not like there's some type of veneer you're going to be sanding through, but it's worth a shot. But again, think of what new pine doors and refacing with new material would cost. So if you can sand them and refinish them, the nice part is, you know, you can start with one, see what it looks like, see if it passed the test for you. If this is something that you think you want to do the rest of them, then you can do the rest of them. But pine, yes, it is softer, and that's why it won't last as long as oak, and it is definitely needs more maintenance than oak. But if you can sand away and not get, you know, damage the wood, then yeah, you should be able to refinish it. And if you use the right type of finish, chances are it's going to last longer. And you seal it up, then it's going to last longer than what the old one does.
Yeah. Labor of love, for sure, though.
Labor of love, for sure.
Yeah. Hang on, Andy. We'll take this quick break, invite our listeners to come on back. And with any kind of a home improvement question, call us, text us, 651-461-9226. Right now in the Twin Cities, as I mentioned earlier, 68 degrees. Some fog and mist reported. Still a chance of showers and thunderstorms today, with highs around 75, but a beautiful Sunday predicted tomorrow with sunshine and near 81 degrees. Again, 68 right now on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And again, good morning to you. Welcome back to our Home Improvement Show. Thanks to Linda's Construction. We are around every Saturday in the 9 o'clock hour answering those home improvement questions. This is Andy Lindis. 651-461-9226. And I'm looking at the date today, still June. This is the 22nd. What kind of deals can still be had at Lindis during this month of June?
50% off labor on leaf guard gutters, the only gutter system guaranteed never to clog, and the only product Lindis Construction hasn't tried to upgrade in 34 years now. So that's how long we've been installing leaf guard around the Twin Cities metro area, and we've got over 70,000 customers and still only one service guy. So, and we also have 50% off labor GAF asphalt roofing and 75% off labor on Infinity Windows by Marvin.
Am I correct in saying that one number is the easiest one to get to, Lindis? 8449 Lindis?
You got it.
That's it. 8449 Lindis. Yeah, take advantage of that. Back to the text questions. And by the way, if you want to call in, we still have time for your phone calls, too, at 651-461-9226. Let's grab another text, though. Here is, in fact, Andy, there are a couple of them from different parts of the state. They're both dealing with treated lumber on a deck. One is 8 years plus a deck, and one is 10 years plus. And both listeners have used solid stains, but they don't last. And they both have the same question. I know what your answer is going to be. Would primer and paint be better, basically? Because the stain, the listeners say, they just peels off. Would primer and paint be better? On both of those, interesting. They're both almost identical.
Yeah, you know, I've never tried to prime and paint treated lumber. Now, I have a hard time thinking you're not going to get similar results, because what is happening your stain isn't penetrating that wood because it's treated lumber. It's lumber that is pressure treated, designed not to allow anything else to penetrate that lumber, like the oil-based stains. So chances are 1-2 years is about as much life as you get about after staining those types of decks. It's just the way it is. Now, I've seen some epoxy or polyurea finishes on the outside of decking, solid colors that have lasted okay. But if it were for me, before I did it, because Denny, once, you know, it's one thing for stain to start to wear away.
Yeah.
But if a solid color paint starts to peel up, it's going to be really obvious and you're going to hate walking on it. I would test the sunniest spot or get a piece of lumber, treated lumber, prime it and paint it, put it on the deck and see how long it lasts. See what it looks like in a month and what your thoughts are. But I've never seen it last that long. We did it on a cedar deck when I was a kid. We had a solid color blue cedar deck. I remember that but that was an oil-based stain that got us that dark blue color. And we removed that oil-based stain with a pressure washer that was part pressure washer, part sandblaster. And then refinished it, and that was the last time that deck was refinished, and it's now a composite deck, Denny, so I'm never worrying about that again.
You and I have talked about this for many years, and I can't remember how many years ago I tried that by mistake. I thought, I don't like this stain, it's not working, so I'm going to paint it using a solid color. And I tell you what, that does not hold up. And then what I really found out, to start all over, you got to sand. You can't just scrape and hope that it'll come off. So it's, I guess in a nutshell, I and you would probably agree, I would not do it. Solid color stain maybe, but not a paint. All right. Another text says this. Our cabin is surrounded by large white pine trees. The roof gets a lot of needles on it. Is that bad for the asphalt shingles to leave the needles on the roof? It's too steep to walk on, so removing them would probably require an annual visit from a professional. What can pine needles do to an asphalt roof or shingles?
Any type of tree debris on asphalt roofing is not good, or any type of roofing. It can lead to all sorts of things. It'll start to deteriorate the shingles. Other things can start to grow in there. It'll hold water behind it, and it can lead to more ice dams. This is, you don't want any type of tree debris standing on your roof that should be removed. And this is why that annual maintenance is something that should be done. And it, again, even a little much as a tree rubbing against that roof can cause damage. So it's not that they don't have to be up there, but if you let pine needles stay like in a valley area year after year after year, I'd be willing to bet that valley area on your roof, its lifespan will be cut in half compared to the rest of the roofing. So you could be taking a 50-year roof and turning it into a 25-year roof, or a 25-year roof, and now it's going to start failing in 12 years. It's just something to keep in mind. The more, they weren't designed to hold tree debris on them. But if you're not comfortable getting up there, then don't. So the best part about this text message is they understood that, and that they would have to get a professional out on a regular basis. Or they make contraptions that you can do it from the ground. I wouldn't use a roof rake in this situation, but they make some of those roof rakes that have rollers. And if you can maybe get up there from that standpoint, then it could be safe. For us, when we get out there, Denny, and we look at situations like this, or you're part of a maintenance program, we're going to use a backpack blower and blow the entire roof off. And then, it might be a good time, too, when you have somebody out to do that. Now look at all of the caulking, look at all of your flashing, and see if there's any maintenance that needs to happen on there. Again, that $10 fix can save you a lot of money down the road, but you never want to have tree debris sitting on your roof.
No. Less than 2 minutes to go on the show, Andy. Let's grab this final text. Another pressure washer question. Can I pressure wash my stucco siding on my house? What's the max pressure I should use, and what kind of cleaning material? What about the stucco?
I'd still be the lighter the pressure, the better. I've never tried to clean stucco. I've never had a stucco home, but I would be really careful with a pressure washer and stucco. Just from my time working on stucco, like drilling into stucco, I watch it crumble. And if you have any type of cracks and you use a pressure washer on your stucco, you might actually start to pull away the stucco or blast away the stucco, so to speak. So I wouldn't, I'd be really careful. And again, a scrub brush, Dawn dish soap, and a regular hose does wonders. And sometimes, believe it or not, it's actually faster to do that than with a pressure washer, especially if you're limited by the amount of pressure you can use.
Yeah, good point. Well, Andy, we're limited. We're out of time, as a matter of fact. Let's join forces here next week and take care of some more business next Saturday morning. What do you say?
Sounds good, and hopefully we have a little less rain this week than last week. It looks like we're going to get some stuff done too, Denny, so it's looking good. I don't know for the Lindises as a whole. It's going to be tough to top this week. I mean, brand new grandbaby, and we had another family member via marriage all in 1 week. It's tough to beat this week, Denny.
It's a great week. Well, enjoy it and wallow in it. It's great, and it passes by so quickly. Thanks, Andy. We'll talk next week.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Andy Lindis from Lindis Construction. Denny Long, thanking you for your company. Dennis Matuszak, thank you. See you next week.